Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
The Avalanche finish off, which, you know, at first glance is a very successful season as they run up 107 points, finish off with a 5-1 win over Edmonton, who did not play any of their top guys as their playoff fate was already set. But it was important for the Avs to finish off the season with some momentum heading off into the playoffs. Nathan MacKinnon reflecting on the regular season.
Yeah, it's been up and down for sure. I think we've had a lot of great moments. Definitely we're very humble right now. We're definitely coming into the playoffs, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think we had a great week of practice, trying to work on things defensively, sort of some issues, and definitely have another couple days to get ready to go here.
If I had told you, Mark, before the season began that the Avs would finish with the 8th best point total in the NHL, would that have qualified for you as a successful season, or
no, I would have
a bit underachieving?
I would have thought it would be higher, but there's a lot of good. You could make a compelling argument for 5 or 6 teams, maybe 7 teams, 8 teams winning the cup.
That's a great point.
This has been an outstanding season.
Yeah. It is wide open. You're absolutely right. I'm just looking at the list of the top teams and teams that I just look at and say, yeah, they look like they could be a Stanley Cup winner. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, probably 6 teams. There you go. Nice job. Look at you.
Well, you know.
By the way, congratulations to Nathan MacKinnon, who sets an Avalanche franchise record, Avalanche Quebec Nordique franchise record for most points in a season, 140 points for Nate Dogg.
So what was the record before that?
The old record was 139 set by Peter Stastny in the 1981-82 season.
Stastny. There's a name, right?
Well, yeah, we had a son here.
Mm-hmm.
So 140 points for Nathan MacKinnon. And what better be a Hart Trophy winning season. It better be. He is the favorite. But he should. I know there's some other deserving candidates, and you'll see out on social media, you'll see the Kucherov fans and the Austin Matthews fans and the Connor McDavid boosters. But for me, end-to-end, season-to-season, wire-to-wire excellence, give me Nathan MacKinnon. Good job. Avs now will move on, take on Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs. Game 1 coming up on Sunday in Winnipeg at 5 p.m. You'll be able to see it either on Altitude or on ESPN2.
Second down.
Sean Payton yesterday talking to the media as the Broncos get set for the NFL draft a week from now, we'll know what they did in the first round. And Sean Payton was asked directly by our buddy Mike Kliss from 9 News, don't you need to draft a quarterback?
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question.
Okay, let's. I want something clarified. Will Sean Payton take who's ever left?
No.
At quarterback at 15?
No.
At 12, excuse me.
No. Absolutely not. It's got to be the right guy.
His guy.
His guy.
And you think he's a his guy or guys?
His guy.
Guy.
Okay. You don't have. In the history of the National Football League, if they draft 6 guys in the first round, one of them is going to be
really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Another one is going to be a good starter.
Yeah.
And then
the other four
of them will be, in 3 years, they'll be playing for somebody else.
Yes. In 3 years, they'll be Justin Fields, Zach Wilson,
yeah,
Matt Jones. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's got a guy. Now, I did read a report yesterday, Mike, that Spencer Rattler, what did I tell you about Spencer Rattler?
You like him.
I did like him, and I like the fact that South Carolina actually used multiple formations and things of that nature, that Spencer Rattler is got some buzz and is climbing up draft boards.
Like potential first round?
No, not like that, but moving up. You know, he was projected as a third rounder, so maybe he's climbing into the second round.
Third down.
Jamal Murray. It's his time. It's playoff time.
You want to see the best players perform, and I try to do that every single time. You know, as the competition is great, the adrenaline is higher, the minutes are higher, the shots are more, the confidence is all the way up there. So, you know, when they take off the leash like that, it's fun to just go out there and play my game.
Yep, starting tomorrow night. This will be the showcase that will lead everybody out there in the NBA world to wonder, why hasn't Jamal Murray gone to an All-Star game? Why do we keep promoting and elevating and overrating other guards in this league? Why do we make such a big deal about All-Star games?
Mm-hmm.
When this guy goes out in the playoffs and just is clearly playing at another level, another gear?
Yeah. Now, Jamal Murray is just freaking awesome. He's a great player. And you know what? He's just a great player, and he's even better player come playoff time. And he's proven that time and time again. So just give him his flowers. If he's going to go to an All-Star game, like if that's the end-all be-all, he's just going to have to be healthy at the beginning of the season. I think he's going to prove it again this year that he's just a prime-time playoff player.
Yep. Especially with Steph Curry out of the mix now. I think when it's all said and done, people are just going to look at Jamal Murray as the best playoff guard in the NBA.
Yes. And not only, you know, Steph Curry does it the way Steph Curry does it. Right? He's just always motoring around the court, getting himself wide open shots, and he's nailing three-pointers. Murray does it, attacking the basket, getting to the rim, hitting three-pointers, playing the two-man game, pulling up for a, you know, elbow shot. Like, he has, his game is versatile. He can do it all, and he proves it every playoff run.
Well, this playoff run begins, and you know where we hope it ends, in June, and we're giving you a chance as part of our new fan flyaway presented by Sport Clips to go see a road game in the finals later on this playoff grind. Here's what you get: two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money from us. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, where we want your opinions, your humor, your snark. We'll jump into that next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, always get a little loose on Fridays. Turn it over to you guys a little bit more. Give you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest heading off into the weekend in the form of Is It Just Me. Michael Thompson, who was part of some of those great Laker teams back in the 80s and is the Lakers radio color commentator.
Yeah.
He's going to be joining us coming up here in about 30 minutes.
That's so fun. That's going to be good.
I will not be as condescending to him as I was to the Seattle radio guy last year, the Kraken guy. Still owe him an apology.
Yeah. He knows deep down inside, he knows we're sorry.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
He knows.
Good. So now I don't have to apologize.
No.
Okay, good.
He was right.
We didn't really want to.
He was right. We were wrong.
We were.
Boy, how wrong were we?
Boy, I'm still really, really worried about that series.
Yes.
I am, like, really worried.
It's really ratcheted up in my book, too.
This is from Jose, driving a truck in Fort Collins. You know he will flash his...
That's right.
...driving lights.
That's right.
...hazards if you let him in. He says, is it just me or is Sean Payton backtracking on his we're smarter and better at picking quarterback comments? You mean this one?
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
He was asked specifically about that comment yesterday. He tap danced around it. I thought he put on a masterclass in saying a lot and saying nothing yesterday.
Well,
he backed away from that. He downplayed that.
I mean, if you listen to it, if you really listen to it, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like you're puffing out your chest, but he's really just being honest. There's a lot of teams that are really bad at this. That's why the Arizona Cardinals, the Jets, the Chicago Bears, give me the list, are always picking. The Carolina Panthers are always picking in the top 10. You know why? Because they're not good at this. They're not. They're box checkers. That's what they are. And there are a lot of teams that are just box checking. Whew! My job's safe. I gave you the best player available at that position. I gave you the best, you know, quarterback that was left on the board. If you can't make this idiot work, that's your fault. So I don't find those comments like puffing out your chest and egregious. I just find them to be truthful. And the truth is far more, you know, the truth is far more shattering than lying.
Is it just me, or I will not be able to believe in the Avalanche Stanley Cup chances until Jared Bednar gets a haircut?
Oh, that's a good point.
We've been commenting, and you know us. We love complimenting Jared Bednar's look.
Yeah.
But even we've had to admit for weeks now, weeks. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for weeks that looking a bit shaggy.
Well, it takes away, like, I can't focus on the tautness of his hiney because all I can look at is the disheveledness of his hair. We need it cleaned up, Jared. Bedsy, need it cleaned up. I need to get focused back on the fit of that European cut suit. Right now, I can't get off your hair. You know what? When he did, now that you mention it, Mike, when he did his in-game in the second period interview on ESPN last night, I didn't even look at what he was wearing because my eyes, whoop, boom, laser beam, right to his disheveledness. That's it. We need to start a campaign. Bedsy a haircut.
Get Bedsy a haircut. Is it just me, or are the Avs and Nugs not going to hang around long enough in the playoffs to create a diversion to the Rockies and Sean's mind-numbing draft? Well, look, there's nothing you can do about the Rockies. There's other than just root for them to lose. You know, that's all you can do.
You don't even have to do that. They're going to lose.
I know they're going to lose. But, I mean, lose historically. I've said it many times, I'll say it once again. The only way you're going to affect any change over there and get Dick Monfort out of his...
just malaise.
Malaise is for them to lose in such a historic fashion that people stay away from the ballpark. It's the only... They could lose 130 games, and if they draw 3 million people, he's still going to consider it a successful season. He's not going to change his model. But if you stay away... And I'm not even saying stay away completely. Just go to less games. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to stop being a baseball fan. I'm just asking you not to go to as many games as you normally would. If you normally go to 10 games a year, go to 4. If you normally go to 5 games a year, go to 2. Just cut down on your baseball, your Rockies consumption. That's all I'm asking. In the attempt to try to send a message.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a great theory.
I know.
What's the most they've ever... Was last year the most they've ever lost in a season? Was last year their worst record ever? Because they're going to crush.
They're going to crush this year.
What'd they lose last year? 102? 100 and...
Yeah, they lost last year. Because I want to do it from a historical standpoint. Yeah, they lost 103 last year, 103. Which was the first time they'd ever actually lost 100 games.
Right.
So 103 is the new mark, and I think they're going to blow past it this year.
I do, too. Good for them.
Just setting new standards,
setting
right?
New records.
Just setting new records. Come see your Colorado Rockies setting new records.
Set a record.
Orioles only a half game behind Yankees for the first place in the AL East.
R.O.'s. Half game behind the Yankees, Mike. We're like cheap underpants sneaking up on the Yankees. Rogue's got her Yankee hat on. I'm not real happy about that.
So, is it just me, or let me get this straight, Evans. If you weren't here in Colorado, you'd pick Winnipeg. But since you're here, you pick Colorado. Sounds like a homer. Well, yeah, I want the Avalanche to win.
I do, too.
But the mere fact that, well, I guess we're going to do predictions later, but I'm taking the Avs in seven. And let me tell you, so if that doesn't tell you how little confidence or how unsure I am about this series, I'm just saying, Avs in seven. You know, they get a deflection, bounces off three guys in double overtime to win in game seven. There you go. I don't have a lot of belief in them. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also not ready to just pick against them because I have too much respect for the core players they have and their ability to take over games and take over a series. There's just no way in good conscience, even though I don't feel great about this matchup, there's no way in good conscience that I can just dismiss the impact and the greatness, the potential greatness of Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, Val Nichushkin, Devontaes, those core guys.
I love you guys. It is amazing that Vegas has them as a favorite after getting swept by Winnipeg and being in a scoring deficit of 17-4.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, man. It says something about, you know, they respect what the Avs have done. They respect the Avs' core. Mm-hmm. They respect the Avs' potential. And I think it's also a nod that, hey, Winnipeg doesn't have much playoff history. This is not a team that goes into the playoffs as a team that you just know what to expect from them in the playoffs.
I know, but in three games, scoring deficit.
I know.
Is the scoring deficit's, what, 4-13? So, like, you think about, like, yeah, that's a lot of goals.
Yeah, but the other thing you also got to factor in, hockey's weird, just... You know, just so many things happen in the postseason that you don't see coming. There's upsets. There's surprises. Teams that dominate during the regular season. It used to be up until baseball recently with the new way that they've done baseball where all these teams that win 100-plus games have to sit around for 5 or 6 days mm-hmm. before they play, and then they get rusty and they fall out of rhythm and they get upset. Baseball now has entered that realm where you kind of wonder how much being dominant in the regular season matters. I think the hockey's been at that place for a long time where, you know, just because you're the top team or one of the top teams in the NHL during the regular season, it doesn't always just guarantee a playoff success.
Yeah, matchups too. But what do they always say about fights? Matchup makes fights or something like that. That's hockey is very much that way. Every sport's kind of that way.
What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, what's trending is Nathan MacKinnon, now the all-time franchise leader in single-season points, 140. He reached that plateau last night in the Avs 5-1 win over Edmonton to close out the season, passing Peter Stastny for the old mark that was set with the Quebec Nordiques back in the early 80s. MacKinnon, of course, humble when acknowledging the accomplishment.
Definitely a legend. Peter Stastny, one of the best ever to play. You know, he had some crazy seasons. You know, I think he had a lot better seasons than me overall. Just one, but obviously I think it's a team accomplishment. A lot of guys helped me out along the way. Tons of great hockey this season. But, you know, my focus is definitely on the playoffs. I'm not really thinking about this at all, to be honest. So.
What a year. What a year for Nathan MacKinnon. He had the streak. To start the season, the home point streak closed in on Wayne Gretzky.
Had the streak on Tuesdays. The points on Tuesday streak.
And I like this note from Brendan McNicholas, the media savant over there with
gave us the Tuesday streak.
He did give us the Tuesday streak. But he got this one out there. MacKinnon got his league-leading 92nd even strength point of the season. The most since Jaromir Jagr had 95 for the Penguins back in the mid-90s. That's important because if you look at what separates Nathan MacKinnon from some of the other MVP candidates, like remember Paul Bissonnette was talking about Nikita Kucherov as being a power play merchant, right?
Yeah. You know,
getting a lot of his points on power plays. The idea that MacKinnon was the best at 5-on-5 I think only adds to his MVP case.
Agreed. Totally agreed. And yeah, you're right. Bessonette did make a big deal out of Kucherov being a sniper versus, you know, an uneven strength in power plays where he gets the majority of his points. So I think that's a great stat. Good job. 92 points, even strength goal.
92 even strength points. Out of his 140.
It's really good.
Not that he's not awesome on the power play as well. Jamal Murray and the Nuggets getting ready to defend their championship. And Murray says it's important they maintain this kind of mindset.
I just think a lot of the teams have a lot more motivation to play against you, and they bring it every single night. And I think for us, you know, we feel like that pushes our backs against the wall, but we got to be the aggressor. You know, we got to be the ones that are still taking to them, still being forceful, still trying to give them no life. You know what I'm saying? So I think just the mindset changes slightly, and you got to be even more dominant in your approach.
That's an interesting psychology, right? Because when you're trying to go out and win that first championship, you're going out, you're pushing, you're attacking, mm-hmm. you're trying to break through. But it's just in the word right there. You get it. You're defending a championship. And I guess what Jamal's saying, it's a great point, is you don't want to get too caught up in defending mm-hmm. when you're out there playing. Don't forget to take the play to them.
Right. You still want to have a hunter's mentality.
Right.
Which is a great, you know, which is a great point. I really do think, you know, for all the criticism that Michael Malone gets, like he has from a mentality standpoint, that's a big part of coaching. Getting your guys with the right mindset. I think he's done a great job with mindset of his team.
Important. No excuses, no explanations, do your job.
That's it.
Sean Payton sharing an amusing story about all the rumors and speculation that's surrounding the draft, and even brought up one of our loyal listeners and texters. Here you go.
Listen, I've got, you name it. I mean, there are people that'll, you know, you get tagged on Twitter. And so when I read these periodically, these things, and then maybe read something that's a little closer to the vest than I like, and I'll like click like, all right, who is, all right, that's, you know, Timmy in Tucson. I don't have to worry about him. He's just right.
Hey, congratulations, Timmy.
Let's go back and look at Timmy's.
We got to find. Yeah, I got to look at his timeline.
Johnny, let's look at Timmy from Tucson's timeline and see what he said.
Timmy!
That would make him right.
Right.
Let's do some investigative reporting.
We can piece together.
And we'll break news.
Clues.
Timmy.
Congratulations.
Here we go, Timmy.
I wonder how some of our other loyal listeners feel about that. Like Mickey. I think Mickey's jealous that Sean called out another listener.
What about it? Yeah, what about our guys? What's Mace doing? Hey, Mace, he didn't mention you were right. That's a little hit piece on my own right there.
Deion Sanders. Yeah. Prime talking yesterday about the idea of his sons getting involved in recruiting and what's wrong with it.
I don't do that. I don't compare my kids and nobody's kids to another kid. I want them to be the first of somebody, not the second of somebody. I don't do that. I don't comp them to nobody. Ain't another Travis out there. Ain't another Shador out there. Ain't another Shiloh and Jimmy or LeJonte. I mean, shoot. These dogs on the line, I don't. NFL does that foolishness.
Yeah, I played the wrong cut, but that's him saying he's not going to compare. Like he was asked, "Hey, does Shador compare? Who would be his NFL comp right now?" And he heard his answer, but he did talk about, because there's been a lot of focus. I know Sean Keeler from the Denver Post writing this morning about how 15 players have left in the last 17 days in the transfer portal. It should not surprise you at all that Deion thinks that that's no big deal.
I think most prominent players at every program are probably your best recruiters. We have a recruiting department that's superb, and they're elite, I really feel. But I wish you could have a conversation with Shador and just tell him to just show you his DM one time. You would not believe the kids that call him or call Shiloh. because they're high-profile young men that calls Travis, that calls Jimmy, that calls some of the guys that has been here, that it's the standard to fill us out, to see where we are. Because a lot of young men we can't talk to, it's not legal.
Does that just shed some light on how this is the Wild West of recruiting now in college sports? Yeah. He just said, and he's not wrong, he just said there are things we can't do as coaches that are illegal.
Right. But my players can do
but
it.
But my players can do it, no problem.
Right. And that's exactly what they're getting in. For every, you know, for every three-star recruit that left, a four-star comes in. Listen, man, this is just, like you said, this is the Wild West. This is make it up as you go along, and CU is winning that recruiting battle. They're winning that portal battle.
Yeah, you know, I took a look at the portal scorebook, if you will, the scoreboard. Every program has lost at least 15 guys in the portal. At least.
Right. Because, because we're creating a generation of players that are, if the going gets tough, I pack up my bags and I go to the next program.
Everybody's moving around. So, really, don't focus on the, well, at this point, wait until you've got the plus-minus total, right? It's like hockey, plus-minus total. Right? Yeah. What's your plus-minus? When it's all said and done, are you on the plus side? You on the minus side?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to Dion's point is that, yeah, we've lost guys, but they're all backups. They're all 2-3-star guys.
Yeah, they're guys that aren't getting the opportunity.
Kamani McClain.
Right, but he wasn't playing. Yeah. So I don't care what your star status is coming out of high school. Can you play? Can you impact the team? Can you become a starter? And if you can't and you leave, well, who gives a rip?
All right, that is what is trending. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30.
See you later.
Michael Thompson, who was part of those great Showtime Laker teams back in the day, been doing Laker radio, and he's going to join us to tell us why we should take this Lakers team seriously after losing 8 straight to the Nuggets. That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Here we go. Nuggets. Lakers.
Ah, this is great.
Game one coming up tomorrow. Lakers are in town. Getting ready to see if they can end their 8-game losing streak. Michael Thompson, former great Laker player.
Dude, you know what? I grew up, you and I both grew up watching the NBA during those times when, you know, it was such great team ball and Lakers and the Celtics and the Sixers were great. And man, I tell you what, that's it brings back great memories of kind of when I really started watching the NBA.
Well, Michael Thompson, he watches the Lakers all the time.
Yeah.
As he does the color commentary on their radio broadcast, and he joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Eminem. Good to talk to you guys. Looking forward to getting to Denver, beautiful city, and at least it won't be snowing sideways when we get there.
Well, you never know. I mean, it is Denver.
Well, there's supposed to be some snow tomorrow.
Could be snowing. Hey, Michael, you know, interestingly enough, you know, we were talking about your Lakers teams and kind of the team basketball, and there's for us here in Denver, and for Mike and I, it's reminiscent of what you guys did in the 80s and, you know, early 90s and the things that were going on in basketball in that generation. Do you see a lot of that in the Nuggets? Does that intrigue you with the way the Nuggets play basketball?
Yeah, I can't put the Nuggets in the Showtime clash yet. They've won one championship. Magic went to 9 finals and over 10 years, won 5 of them. So I've got to give Jokic and Murray a chance to get there. They're still 8 or 9 years away from being at the level of the legacy that the Showtime Lakers put out there. But the Nuggets are good. They are legit. They are the defending champions, and they are the favorites to win it again, given blessed with good health. So the Lakers are going to have their hands full. Jokic is a special player. Murray is a big-time clutch player, one of the best we've seen in the game in the last 10 years. And so this is going to be a very tough series for the Lakers to win.
Michael Thompson, our guest. Michael, why is this Laker team different? How are they different than the one the Nuggets have dominated over the last few years.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Nuggets have won 8 in a row, and this is over the last 2 years. So are the Lakers any different? I mean, obviously, I think guys like Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura have gotten better over the last 2 years. So that's what we have to count on, because the Nuggets are the Nuggets. They're as good as advertised. They're consistent. They're great in the clutch. So it's going to be up to the Lakers to play up to their level. Are the Lakers capable of doing that? Yeah, I think they are. Over 6 or 7 games, I think they are. Even though the Nuggets swept them last year, all the games were very competitive. So you just have to take a couple of breaks here. And I tell you, the key to beating their Nuggets are, you know, Murray and Jokic, two all-NBA players, are going to do their thing. As great as Anthony Davis is on defense, Jokic still finds a way to get 30 points against him. That's how great a player he is. The key to beating the Nuggets is the other three starters, Porter, Gordon, and KCP. You have to slow those guys down, because Murray and Jokic are going to do their thing, especially in the fourth quarter. But if those other three guys complement them and they get like 60 to 70 points combined, then Denver's almost impossible to beat.
Hey, Michael, what about this early matchup? You know, last year was at the end of the playoffs in what, the championship series, right? Conference finals. And, you know, wear and tear and older team and LeBron being, you know, as old as he is, and although still incredible, but, you know, the wear and tear of a playoff series, how much more important was it to get the Nuggets early? If you think the championship is going through Denver anyhow, how important was it to get them early?
It doesn't matter whether it's this round or 2 rounds from now in the Western Finals. Denver's so well coached, so disciplined. They play such a high level of basketball IQ that it doesn't matter when you get them. Nothing's going to change with them. As long as they're healthy, they are the team to go through. So whether it's this round or later in the playoffs, it wouldn't make a difference, because Denver's going to be consistent throughout.
Michael Thompson, our guest. Nikola Jokic, his game has always been described as being, you know, very old school. Do you see somebody in Nikola Jokic? How would he have fit in the 80s against the great centers, the Kareems and the Patrick Ewings, the David Robinsons, the Hakeem Olajuwons, that star-studded group? How would Nikola Jokic's game translate?
He would translate in any era, man. He makes the game look so easy. It looks like it's not even fair. Does the guy even try? He makes it look so easy. I mean, the way he scores on all levels, from the post, from the mid-range, from three. He just simplifies the game. He's a combination of Kareem, Tim Duncan, and Robert Parrish, the way he plays the game, and Rasheed Wallace. He just makes the game look so easy. So this game would translate from the 50s right up until now against all the great centers. Yeah, they would score on him, too. Don't get me wrong. Kareem and Aris Gilmore and Will Chamberlain and all the great centers of the past would also get the numbers against him, but he would also get his numbers against those guys too, because he simplifies the game and looks so fundamentally easy the way he plays. And I don't understand why everybody, all big men, just don't try to copy his game.
Michael, last question for you. The Lakers pull off the upset if they do what?
Like I said earlier, they got to control Gordon, Porter, and KCP. I mean, Christian Braun is a good player, too, of course, and Reggie Jackson coming off the bench. But Jokic is going to get his. Murray is that great in the clutch. That's how good a player he is. He's the best player in the league who's never been an all-star. So the main three guys, you got to slow down Gordon. You got to slow down Michael Porter and KCP. Those three guys are having a great series. Oh, we're in trouble.
All right, Michael, man, we appreciate you, and we look forward to having you here in our city and later today or tomorrow? So all the best to you, buddy.
We'll be in later today, and I cannot wait for Game 7 in Denver.
You're all looking at a Game 7.
All right. We love it.
That's so cute. That's so cute.
All right.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
You bet.
All right, take care. Michael Thompson, who was part of those great Laker Showtime teams back in the 80s. Good player. Good.
He was really good.
Really good player. We weren't as condescending with him as we were with Seattle Kraken guy last year.
Yeah, well, Seattle Kraken guy is, you know, he's like you. He's a radio guy.
Right.
Or a TV guy.
Right. Well, he's a former player, though.
Oh, the Kraken guy was?
Yeah, a former player.
Oh, I thought we had the
No, we had the color commentator.
We did?
Player, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we still were. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that.
The former player, we were very...
Dude, who was the guy?
Very, I don't know. I don't know right off the top of my head. Very condescending. We were very condescending. We were very dismissive.
Well, I thought we were talking to a play-by-play guy, another guy that actually played. I would have been less dismissive if I knew he actually played the game. Wow.
So that's the vantage point of the Lakers. And I can see it. Hey, you know you're going to let, you know you, Jokic and Murray are going to get theirs. But
right.
Don't let the other guys go off. Which actually, I guess, maybe dovetails perfectly into what we set up.
Real quick, because I was listening to the drive yesterday, they had Jake Shapiro on. And he did a bunch of number crunching in our article. And the key factor, he said, is Michael Porter Jr. Like, Michael Porter Jr. has had his best games, points, rebounds, steals, all that stuff. Every time he plays the Laker, he's been a Laker killer. And so he was like, and I'm paraphrasing, so if I get something a little bit off track, but he basically said that Michael Porter Jr. has been the big kind of Laker killer when it comes to, you know, the other guys and who contributes, which is interesting.
Well, okay, in three games this season against the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
MPJ averaged 21 points and 10 rebounds per game.
Yeah.
Averaged a double-double. So 21 and 10, and if you look at his regular season stats, those are up from about 17 and 7. So if he's 17 and 7 during the regular season, he was 21 and 10 against the Lakers in three games this year. Well, we each wrote down our top five keys for the Nuggets.
Yes.
In this not in
look,
just
look,
this.
Look at this. Look at.
Oh, we both have yellow notepads. Look at this.
This is me subconsciously.
Yeah, you wrote them down. I wrote them down.
Giving you, this is me giving you props because you are a yellow notepad guy.
I am a yellow notepad guy. You're not usually a yellow notepad guy.
No, but
You have your handy dandy notebooks.
Right, but I actually grabbed a yellow yellow pad, kind of these yellow legal pads or whatever you call them. And yeah, so this is my ode to you.
Is it just me? I'm more of a yellow legal pad guy than a white legal pad guy.
Yeah, I like the yellow better.
I like the yellow better too.
Yeah.
Why is that? There's got to be some kind of psychology involved. Like if you walk into the stationery aisle or a stationery store and you have your choice, it's like a reflex thing. Well, like, all right.
Yeah.
Rogue, you going to go for a white legal pad or a yellow legal pad? They're both there in front of you. What are you going to go with?
White.
White. Okay. Fever?
White.
White. Interesting. You and I both go yellow.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Wait, why yellow?
I don't know.
Yeah, because probably yellow was like our generation of legal pads.
Well, no. I mean, everything we had, our notebooks and trapper keepers and everything like that was all
white. Peaches were yellow.
White paper.
Peaches were yellow.
I don't know. Peachy. Oh, that's right. We did the peaches thing, didn't we? Do that peaches. Like, I don't remember the peaches.
How do you not remember peaches?
I don't
peaches?
Remember peaches.
Oh, my gosh.
You what were the peaches again?
They were little folders that you shoved everything in with the little track guys on them and a football guy on them. And they had all the sports. You don't remember.
I don't remember.
You not,
I don't remember them specifically.
Did you not have
peaches?
Peachy. It was like P-E-C-H-E.
That's a big three-ring binder guy. You know, you click the things together and
I
then you pull them
the
back
three,
apart.
I hated the three-ring binder.
In there. Then you like carry like five of them around at
right.
the same time.
No, and you got to stack them opposite one.
Look like Cluffy walking yeah. around with everything.
Oh.
He still
246 toothpicks. 246. Man.
Oh, Sandy, I love you.
I love Sandy, too.
I love you.
Remember the experiment I ran on Sandy?
That was both kind of cruel and fascinating at the same time. You want to explain?
So I'd tell you, because these guys don't know, Johnny and Sid weren't around with Sandy.
So, I know what it is.
Oh, so, okay. Rogue doesn't know.
So we had a...
Wait,
well, you had
described. I've been around for Sandy?
Well, yeah, but you don't know what I did. So Sandy used
to
come in...
You'll totally get it, though. Here you go.
Sandy used to come in... every day after us. And we used to have a trash can in the corner of the room before we redid these desks. And every day I would like wad up papers that I don't want anymore and I would toss them and, you know, I would make some and I would miss a few. And so I just was doing it casually. And the first day Sandy came in and picked up all the papers as he walked in to sit in Mike's chair.
Immediately.
So then it became a game. And I used to throw papers over there specifically just to see Sandy pick them up. And it went on for months and months.
It was Pavlovian. It really was.
Yeah.
It really was.
Months and months.
Months and months.
And we just chuckled or giggled like a couple of little schoolgirls over here as Sandy was picking up my paper.
It'd be the first thing you would do.
Yeah.
You would cross over the threshold and literally reach down and pick up your paper.
Pick up my paper.
Happy, joy, joy.
Yeah. And it was just, it was fun. We did it for months.
Did you ever say anything to him about it?
No. It was our little game.
It's our own little game. Just to see it.
You know.
And he did.
Just playing.
Shut up!
Yeah. I'm surprised once he found out. Oh, miss him.
Yeah. Awesome.
He's doing great. Wish him nothing but the
I love Sandy. He's the best.
Just playing silly little games.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing, playing silly little games. All right, you ready? Well, let's do this. Yeah. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's an Is It Just